Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Want to talk a little hockey? Why are we asking? Of course you do. This is Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Richards with him, Brandon Saad, and it's Saad who has the puck, takes it to the net, he's on his backhand, he shoots, he scores!
Well, that's the voice of Jim Houston covering the Stanley Cup Final, and Brandon Saad scoring a goal for the Chicago Blackhawks, one of many he has scored on his rather brief, I guess, NHL career with the Chicago Blackhawks, but a couple of Stanley Cup rings, and of course that was the big news over the past 24 hours that he will be doing that for the Columbus Blue Jackets starting next season as we welcome you back to our coverage of the NHL free agent signing day. Gord Stellick, Matthew Barnaby on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, of course, getting set. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage, 11 a.m. We'll pick up the TV coverage. We'll be simulcast from Sportsnet. But as mentioned, the Columbus Blue Jackets and Chicago Blackhawks making a splash yesterday. Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, joining us. How you doing, Jarmo?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you guys doing
this
morning?
Well, you know, we're good, and you know, we always appreciate good news, so you've given us lots to talk about, very selfishly from a media point of view. So tell us exactly, I mean, it was a story, a name that caught a lot of people by surprise yesterday, how the whole deal gets started and consummated.
Well, we had talked with the Chicago Blackhawks for a while. They had interest in Artem Anisimov, and we had some different scenarios, and then all of a sudden Saad was possibly part of the deal, and things progressed pretty quickly after that.
When you look at acquiring Saad and you look at your team, Jarmo, from last year, obviously a lot of injuries, but the one thing I think most of us can take away from watching your team is it's a hard-working team that you're going to leave with at least a lot of ice bags on the opposing team. Does Brandon Saad just bring even more of a factor to your club when you traded for him?
Yeah, I think so. He's a strong player, physical player who drives the net hard, and he adds a lot of speed into our lineup too, which is the way the game seems to be trending. And he's got the scoring touch, and he's 22 years old with two cups and two rings. So he's a great addition to our group.
Now, Jarmo, similar to Dougie Hamilton, would be a restricted free agent, so could get an offer sheet. I know Calgary worked out a contract situation with Dougie. I don't know if you got a chance to talk before with Brandon Saad's representatives or not. Is there any kind of update about contract situation there?
Well, we kept talking last night, and we've already started talking this morning, and we're hopeful that it gets done soon. But I've said it many times that we have plenty of cap room, and if somebody decides to offer sheet us, we're just going to match. That's a quick negotiation for us then.
Common sense thinking out there is teams really aren't worried about offer sheets because they will be matched. But going forward, cap teams that are affected by it, I'm not going to say top-line players, but guys making, you know, the Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane, your Johansson's, automatically are matches. But teams that are up against the cap for guys making $5, $6 million, do those teams have to worry about offer sheets coming through probably more than in years past?
Well, when you get to where the Chicago Blackhawks, for example, are at, when you get too many good players, if you can say that, then it could cost you too much money in the cap world, obviously, and that's why Chicago had to part ways with Brandon Saad, and I can't speak on their behalf, but they did what was necessary, and we saw the player available, and hopefully we'll get into that situation one of these days where we have too many good players and we have to make some hard decisions in order to stay under the cap.
Jarmo, when the clock strikes 12 noon and the free agent period officially begins, how would you have characterized your team as far as interest goes, and how do you characterize it now that you've made the trade?
Well, we're looking for ways to improve, but it has to be the right piece. We've tried to be very cautious at July 1, just not going crazy. If there's the right player that we think that is going to be the perfect fit with us at the right price, we'll go after him. Obviously, we're always looking to improve our team, but we'll be patient. The opportunity might come later this fall or might come during the season or before the deadline when we find the right piece. We have a pretty good group right now. I think we've strengthened our group from last year, and we were very strong at the end of the year. And we're going to be a year older, a year more experienced with our young guys. So I think we should be in pretty good shape going into the season, even if this is our team. But like I said, every day we're here looking for ways to improve.
Jarmo, you picked up a Zach Werenski from Michigan, a defenseman, highly touted going forward. If you had to look at one piece you might want to strengthen this year via free agency or through trade, would it be on the back end?
Yeah, that's something that we've talked about. But again, we have a pretty good group with Tootin and Savard and Ryan Murray. Healthy Ryan Murray is going to be the best addition in this offseason, in my opinion. And Jack Johnson, Kevin Kanaan, and Dalton Prout, Cody Golubev, and Justin Falk. That's a pretty good eight that we can go into the season with. But if we find the right piece to strengthen our D core, we will do that.
Yeah, you mentioned some great young talent. Certainly seen them firsthand when you come through the Toronto area. Wondering about 2 years ago, it was David Clarkson was the big free agent signing by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you made the deal last year, the kind of creative deal with Nathan Horton. What's his status and things about health-wise, and also as far as maybe getting his head in a better place compared to what he had to endure two summers ago after the big ticket?
Well, I think he's in a good place now. He's working hard in the off season. He's in great shape. He's healthy. He's excited to get a new start, and that's all we're expecting right now, for him to get back to his game where he was at before signing the big ticket in Toronto. He earned it by his performance in New Jersey, where he scored 30 goals once. We just want him to get back, get his confidence back, and get his game going and enjoy hockey again. And he'll be a good addition to our group.
Okay, I'm going to let you get back to work, but I am curious. You know, trade deadline day, so much is made of the war rooms, what goes on, and really more happens now than it does on trade deadline day. So what is your setup like today, say, in Columbus?
Well, we got all the whole management group here. Obviously, we're working on the Saad deal as we speak here, and we got the board open here, and the computer screens are open, and different things going, and phone lines are hot. So we're working on different things, and we'll see where it goes today.
Well, thanks for allowing our call through one of the phone lines. We appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way, and congratulations. That's a big trade, so all the best with that, too. Thanks, Jarmo.
Thank you very much.
Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And it's interesting, your point you went back at him with, and again, everyone's always cautious when they talk about other teams, but he's basically saying, we're not against the cap. If you want to sign him, we're going to match it, okay? We're one of the teams that can. If we're one of the...
Do you actually think he said nana?
In his mind, yeah. Yeah, in an accent.
Yeah,
in his mind.
I love his accent. I could talk to him all day long.
But basically, that's the point, because if you look at teams that are vulnerable, that's where the Boston Bruins had a look at it. They said, oh my God, like we're Dougie Hamilton. We're trying to figure cap stuff out. And you did bring up the point, Saturday, that maybe if Milan Lucic had already been traded, the trades happened the other way around, that they would have had that cap flexibility to say, okay, maybe we can do it. But in Columbus's case, as he says, worst case scenario, you do the negotiation with another team. And like you never actually played with Thomas Vanek, I don't think, in Buffalo. But
no,
that kind of situation,
yeah,
Edmonton gave him a big cup. 49, forget that.
Was it 50 over 7, 49 over 7?
49 over 7, and Buffalo just matched. And, of course, there was the Dustin Penner situation and a few like that. But it's basically he's saying, and I agree in the sense that, you know what, you really are wasting your time if you're going after him. Go after some team that's against the cap, because then you got him.
If I was a GM, I would create cap casualties for everyone in my conference. I'd be going after guys. But you know what's going to happen back to you. You know, P.K. Subban, that would have been a guy that I might have targeted. But of course it would have been, you know, matched right away. But look for those teams. And don't look for the star players, the P.K. Subbans, the Shea Webbers, the Patrick Kanes. All the top elite, they're going to get matched automatically. Look for teams that are against the cap, in a mid-range player that you're going to overpay for. A guy like Brandon Saad, who's a very good player. He's not an elite player. He's a 20-goal guy going forward. Maybe gets to 25. Hard-nosed guy that skates very well, that can be a big part of your puzzle going forward. Look for those guys, teams against the cap, to go after.
Not the superstars. Superstars get matched every single time. And of course, Columbus has the cap flexibility like Jarmo talked about. If anyone goes after him, they're going to match him right away because they have that capabilities. Looking at this lineup now, I really feel that they will add a defenseman at some point. It might not be today. You don't want to lose your mind on this day. If the right piece is there, this might be a team because they are forward heavy in the cap world. They have some young guys, and he talked about Murray. If he's healthy, that'll be a great addition. But if there's any place that this team, they're set in goaltending with Bobrovsky, obviously offensively and hard-nosed up front, they're set. If they're going to add anything, I would think it's on the back end.
Now, Yarmo's boss, John Davidson, before was in St. Louis, and I wonder, is Tarasenko a guy you might take a run at?
Nah, he gets smashed automatically.
So basically, I'm just looking. There's nobody up there. Nyquist, another one, but just – the list goes on and on. Okay, on the other side, Gord Stellick, Matthew Barnaby, by the way. It's NHL free agent coverage here. We'll be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're on till 11. Then we'll pick up the Sportsnet TV feed with our cast of thousands that will bring in you up to date what is going on. Since we've chatted about some of the bigger names, what about the Yuri Hudlers? We just saw him winning a Lady Byng trophy, quiet signing by the Calgary Flames a few years ago. One of the best signings 2 years ago as the Maple Leafs trumpeted the David Clarkson signing, Ottawa Senators with Clark MacArthur. I mean, they got him at not unreasonable money and real good term. I mean, that's the part I really marveled that the Vancouver Canucks last year could get Ryan Miller on a 3-year contract because it's a term that kills you. I don't know. The money's one thing, the term that kills you. But I'm wondering some guys out there that Matthew Barnaby may say, if I was in a management team that I would be taking a look at as those secondary role player type free agents.
I mean, when you look at, again, I'm talking even getting trades. I think Chicago is going to make another deal. I think this even facilitates another deal to clear up some cap space.
So involving Bickle or Sharp, probably?
I think so. Mm-hmm. To me, can you trade Bickle now that you lost Saad? Don't you need a little bit of that in your lineup? At $4 million, it's still a lot of money, but in this world, it's not crazy money. So I don't know if you're able to trade a Bickle. I like Sharp on my team, even though it's a much bigger cap hit than a Bickle, but it's the type of player that you're looking for. But I still think they will make a move to give them a little bit more flexibility going forward. I mean, Bolesky's a guy that a lot of teams are going to covet. Joel Ward is a guy that I want on my team. I know Washington's still in the mix. There's upwards of 8 teams that are trying to land the services of a Joel Ward. I love what he brings to the table. His character, he can play PK, he can play up and down your lineup. He can do so many different things for you. So I think when you look at, there's not those big name players on the back end. You got an Ehrhoff that might be willing to take a little bit of term. You know, he already signed the big deal in Buffalo. Made $8 million during a lockout year because Pagula opened up the box. And then
keep in mind, those guys got huge signing bonuses, so they were protecting the law. I mean, he must have thought it was the old-style publisher's clearhouse warehouse thing, which never made sense that somebody shows up at your house when Ed McMahon was alive and you won $20 million for no reason or something. I mean, he must have felt like that on that day.
I think he got $40 million and $8 million during the lockout with a signing bonus. Yeah. I mean, and then he turned around and signed a one-year deal with Pittsburgh trying to win a cup and a $4 million deal. So does he sign long-term? Does he sign short-term with a team? Marty St. Louis is the perfect guy for me. That's a Brad Richards this year. He can still score. He can still contribute. And on a short one-year deal at $2.5 million, I'd go get him.
Now, it's funny when you talk about Brian Bickle or Patrick Sharp, and just I look at it that they can keep Bickle now, but I think maybe they say he's overpaid. We paid him based on what he did a couple of years ago and justifiably in the playoffs. So maybe let's just move him. You know, we got these young guys coming. We got the Columbus guys coming in that, you know, maybe we keep Sharp one more year, which was the unthinkable a little while ago. So we'll find out about that. But Matt Bolesky, as we talk about David Clarkson or others, I mean, it's a guy played with PK Subban in Belleville, had a journeyman to say career. And then, you know, fortunate for a while, Bruce Boudreau puts him on the big line in Anaheim. So I don't know how big or how long or how deep. I mean, that could be the sexy signing that you've really got to take a second, third, or fourth look at if you're a manager.
You look at an Antoine Vermette, you know, a third-line center in Chicago, struggled for a lot of it. Antoine Vermette, what does he get on the open market? He's going to do well. He's going to do very well. If he's your first-line center like he was in Arizona, you don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
if he's your third line guy, you have a chance at winning the Stanley Cup. And that's where you have to look at signing these guys. Where do they slot in your lineup? Mike Green. If you're bringing Mike Green in to be in your top pair and pay him $7 million a year, you're not making the playoffs. That's the reality. You're going to get a sexy name. Mike Green is sexy. But if you're bringing him in for a third pair, now you're talking. Now your team is being slotted the same way. If you're able to get a motivated Alexander Semin on a short one-year deal, you did a good job. There's no risk involved. But if you're going to sign him to a four-year deal, which no one, I'm hoping no one. I mean, again, he's robbed
nobody,
$70 million from a lot of people. $70 million Alexander Semin has made. Just say that in your head over and over, and you might want to be locked up. Cody Hodgson, he's not a top six forward. So where is there a spot for him?
He's not a top six forward the last couple of years. Put it that way. I mean, yeah. I look at him at a younger age compared to P.A. Parenteau at 32 years of age. Like, it's just, he went to a bad Buffalo situation.
Yeah.
Obviously. And Vancouver missed him. You know, they could have used him in the core six, I think, afterwards, but maybe that's more a reflection that they didn't replenish their guys. He's an interesting one. He's an interesting one.
Good kid. I hope he improves his skating. And you know what? I didn't think Brad Richards could. Brad Richards improved his skating this year. He had a gear that I haven't seen in a while. And he looked slow as molasses in New York. Now he's a two-time Stanley Cup winner, and he was a big addition and a big help. It took him time to fit in to Chicago and get up to pace. But a great addition. I hope, guys, you always hope for good guys to figure it out and get to where they need to be. Justin Williams. Who's going to overpay for Justin Williams? Going to overpay for Justin Williams?
Are the LA Kings rethinking it maybe now?
No way.
Well, they don't have the cap room, right? They're looking at...
And you have an easy out now.
Yeah.
If you win a Stanley Cup or you're contending, Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7 clutch, you got to sign him.
Well, that's what Mike Richards got a couple of years ago. The Stanley Cup hangover, like loyalty, we love you, we are the world. And probably July 2nd, they're already thinking we made a mistake. But anyway, it was that Stanley Cup, the vibe and the love in from winning it.
I use this a lot. With all due respect, Justin Williams' best days are behind him. You might get one or two more quality years, and we know how clutch he is, but someone is going to give him a five-year deal today. Someone's going to give him a five-year deal at around $5 million, and they are going to regret it. He's not the fleetest of foot. He scores, and he is clutch, and
You think he's going to get a five-year deal?
Yes, I do.
I'll tell you, you look, and I was
I'd give you a three-year deal just for your good looks.
I appreciate
everyone
that.
Everyone gets a five-year deal.
Well, another year for the hair, I would hope as well. But I look back at the different Leaf signings, and since 2005, and Chris Johnson pointed it out, it's not fair to go back to Gary Roberts and Nieuwendyk and Curtis Joseph because there wasn't a salary cap then, but Jason Blake was 34 years old. And he'd had his best season, 40 goals, 69 points for the New York Islanders, playing with Alexei Yashin, I think, as well. So, who we forget about, but was a decent player back then.
Yep, they just finished paying him this year.
I know, but at 34 years of age is really where you got to look at that and look at that hard before anything long term.
Yeah, you look at one skating ability, and then look at that age. And when you start adding term, and that's what happens. You talked about it earlier. The money is not the biggest thing. It's the term.
Well, a guy that's a long way from being 34 years of age or whatever it is to being an unrestricted free agent, of course, Gord Stellick, Matthew Barnaby, here covering the NHL free agent coverage on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. But Aaron Ekblad, fresh from winning the Calder Trophy as the NHL Rookie of the Year, and what a great first year with the Florida Panthers joining us. Hey, first of all, congratulations, Aaron.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to go back a bit about the season, but first of all, a day like today, where you're a few years away from this, but what's your mindset as far as watching it? Are you actively watching and listening and interested and maybe getting educated, or what's your thinking today as a guy fresh off being Rookie of the Year?
You know what? I actually just turned on TSN this morning when I woke up, and I've been kind of paying attention to all the trades and all the stuff that has been happening around the draft. It's interesting. It's fun to watch. And especially now that I play in the league, it's a whole new story. It's a lot of fun, and it's very interesting to see and learn.
Exciting times in Florida. I think last year you guys opened up a lot of eyes to what the rebuild and restructure of that organization, what Dale Tallon is trying to do. How exciting was it at the draft and to draft a guy like Lawson Crouse and bring another big body? You have enough of them in that organization on your team, but to bring a guy like Lawson Crouse to the fold.
It's really important. I mean, obviously, Dale Tallon knows what he's doing, and bringing in a good player and bringing in good people is part of the strategy here. So, it's fun to watch for sure. And like you said, it's exciting times here in Florida.
Yeah, no, Dennis Potvin just came back to be your color commentator, of course, Hall of Fame defenseman. And he talked about you on the ice, of course, exuding positives. But he mentioned more off the ice. He just said that you're a great student of the game. You're a guy who has a lot of respect, wants to sop up knowledge, and that even for guys like him, you sit down and chit-chat about a lot of things, and you pick his brain and have chats like that. And that's a great background. Was that always what you were about as far as trying to sop up information?
Yeah. I mean, I actually never liked watching hockey just because I wanted to be out there playing it. So I think, whenever I'd watch it, I'd go shoot in the basement or something like that. But, sitting with, Jaromir Jagr, Willie Mitchell, Denny Pop, and all the guys that have played so long on our team, it's fun to learn from them and figure out all the little tips and tricks that you can get to be that extra percentage better than you were the day before.
I'm sure you're not going to be the guy to sign the bridge contract when it comes up. I think you're going to be one of those 8-year guys that they lock up long term, knowing Dale Tallon, knowing your talent. But have you thought of the future? It's just you're just enjoying the moment of where you are. Do you look at free agency and say, this is where I want to be in Florida? Or do you say, I still have a lot of growth left. Maybe a bridge contract's the way to go.
I really don't think about it, too much. Try to focus at the task at hand, which is, winning games, every day with the Florida Panthers. I mean, if you start looking too far ahead and get too far ahead of yourself, I don't think you'll perform as well as you really want to. So that's definitely not something I'm thinking about yet.
Aaron, the toughest position to play right away is defense in the National Hockey League. And if somebody, whether it's Noah Hanifin or anybody else, talks to you about making that adjustment, what would you say to them about the toughest things to do and how you did it?
Honestly, I don't know how I did it. I came in, I was given a lot of advice from a lot of great people, but in the end, you kind of just have to stop thinking and focus on what got you there. And I think my ability to think on the spot and not think about what I'm doing and make more reactions rather than, thinking through the game, I think that's what really helped me the most. The first little while, I was listening to a lot of people, talk about a lot of different things. And once I just put that all aside and used my confidence and my abilities, then my true game kind of came to light.
Aaron, you guys had a great year last year. I mean, you want to be a playoff team. I think that's the goal going into this year. For you guys to make the playoffs and have that end goal achieved, what do you guys need to do better this year?
I think it's pretty simple. We got to win games in the first half of the year. We can't take any games for granted. I think if you really think about it, the games in October, November, December are just as important as the ones late in the year. So if we do that this year and we really focus on bearing down in every game, especially the ones that we know we should be winning, that'll lead us to the playoffs.
When you're out there playing early in the season, is there a player or two that you look up and you get the wow factor? When did that hit you sometime in an NHL game?
Very few times. I think Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, and when Jaromir Jagr first walked into our dressing room, for some reason not playing against him, but when he was on our team, he finally realized the star power behind him. So very few times that I experienced that just because I wanted to, be competitive and really not think about that. But, yeah, so a couple times this year.
I play with Yeggs on two separate occasions with Pittsburgh and New York. Is there any truth to the rumor that he's going to play till he's 105?
I think if you ask him, that's not a rumor. That's a fact.
And what about you as far as the offseason goes? And, of course, he's a fanatic about conditioning. I imagine, I know you're in excellent shape as well. I mean,
we call him the total package. Aaron Ekblad, the total package.
I know. Yeah, what does the total package do for a total package summer? What are you doing?
This morning, relaxing. In a couple hours, I'll be at my workout doing my thing and then probably probably playing a quick 18 holes.
Well, it's a good life and well-deserved. And again, congratulations on all your success. Thanks very much for joining us. Hopefully we can talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
Aaron Ekblad, the Calder Trophy winner as the Rookie of the Year with the Florida Panthers. Jaromir Jagr, it's, again, talking to Danny Potvin when they were in town, and he talked about Aaron Ekblad. But also, they chat about Jaromir Jagr and stuff you don't see as much as the casual observer. But even in his 40s, he does that great thing. People don't realize how physically strong he is. Oh. And he does that bump when you least expect it against the corner, that he kind of does that down the deceptive bump that knocks you off the puck, and he's trying to teach some of the young players how to do it.
The size of that derriere that he has is massive. It's what every hockey player wants in Jaromir Jagr. I play with Jags in Pittsburgh when I was traded from Buffalo, and I played there for 3 years. And what people didn't understand, he'd leave the rink right after practice. People would be like, he's not working out. He's not doing enough. I hung out with Jags outside of the rink, and I'd go to his house almost every day for either lunch or dinner. His mom would cook us a little borscht.
A mooch.
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
I'd give a little tip along the way. But he'd go home, and I'd be watching TV, watching hockey, and he'd jump on the bike for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't do it at the rink, but he was at home doing it. He'd always get his nap in. He'd always took care of himself. But he's a lot more physical than people think. And that size, he's 240 pounds. He's a solid man. And when he gets that butt out in the air, no chance are you getting that buck from him. But Aaron Ekblad, the total package. I think there's one D-man, a young D-man that you want out there. He won't be signing no bridge deal. It'll be an 8-year and a lot of money.
Well, that's why, and the Toronto Maple Leafs faced the whole Mitch Marner, Noah Hanifin situation about taking the number one D, and certainly Seth Jones is a very competent number one D in Nashville. And again, I did the comparable from years gone by. Victor Hedman was one. Drew Doughty was one. Granted, he went second overall that particular year. The year before, Andrew Hickey had been the one. He went seventh overall to the LA Kings and didn't pan out. But it's hard. Like, I don't know if this is the norm. A guy like Aaron Ekblad coming in fitting so well that maybe we didn't give this guy enough props that he is maybe a little more special than not getting the same kind of hype as, say, as the Stamkos or Tavares did in their year being the number one pick last year.
Yeah, all those guys, when you look at Tavares and Ekblad and, you know, exempt status, and we're going to see it with McDavid this year. But you go back to the draft with MacKinnon, and then Barkov taken by Florida. I mean, David Poile had to just run to make that selection at 4 with Seth Jones.
Well, I think like Ron Francis probably did at 5.
Oh,
this
absolutely.
Past year with Noah Hanifin.
Everyone in their right mind at number 3 was trading. Now, again, Mitch Marner is going to be a very good player. Dylan Strome is going to be a very good player. But everyone, take Columbus that took Werenski at 8. They were trying to trade up for 3. You had a lot of teams trying to get into that 3 slot. It wasn't to take Strome, and it wasn't to take Marner. It was to take Noah Hanifin. And Noah Hanifin could play in the National Hockey League this year. I was going to ask Jarmo if he thought Werenski might be one of those guys that could. I still think he needs some development. But Noah Hanifin, at his size, skating ability, could play in the National Hockey League. They had to run to the podium to make that 5 selection. And like I said, we'll see who plays out to be better in 5, 6, 7 years. It could be a grave mistake. I think Seth Jones is going to be the best player out of that draft and the guy that I would want. And I think Noah Hanifin could be that guy we look back and say, now we know why everyone was trying to trade up to get that number 3 slot.
And on the other side, who knows what will happen down the road, but I gave the Tampa Bay Lightning credit right off the bat that they sent Jonathan Drouin back to junior rather than keeping him. He was the highest guy. And then he still struggled a year later, even that one extra year. So you never know. And you have to wonder about him. Maybe will he come into his own or not? But Aaron Ekblad certainly can't do any better than that first overall pick. And he was the first overall rookie winning the Calder Trophy. But we'll come back and find out who's going to be the first overall free agent signing and other things that are going on. It's a busy day in the National Hockey League, a busy period. We've got it all covered for you here. NHL free agent signing day. Gord Stellick, Matthew Barnaby on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We welcome you back to our NHL trade deadline coverage. It's not trade deadline, but it's actually more trade deadline than trade deadline is. It's also free agent signing day, a little bit of everything. Dougie Hamilton traded a week ago, Brandon Saad yesterday, and we think more to come. Of course, the clock strikes 12 noon, and NHL free agents can be officially signed by other NHL teams. Gort Stelic, Matthew Barnaby,
welcome
back. I want
to play hockey again. I want to be a free agent. I know.
Well, you are a free agent.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I know. But the bad news is nobody wants you, like me. I know.
No.
We're all free agents here.
Yeah.
I know. Brent's a free agent. Matt's really a free agent.
Guys, I'm available. Dale Tallon, you bought me out once. Come buy me out again. I just want them to sign me and then buy me out right away.
Oh, those one-day things.
Yeah.
Why don't Buffalo does that with Thurman Thomas and all this? Oh, you want real coin. You don't want the one-day ceremonial thing.
I'm not going into the Hall of Fame as a Buffalo Saver. I want the coin.
All our coverage, of course, in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And it's interesting. We'll chat about a few different things that are going on, but you talked about Antoine Vermette and about being a third line center, and you could win a Stanley Cup like the Chicago Blackhawks did, or if he's your first line center, that's probably not a good situation. And you probably know Bobby Holík pretty well.
I was just gonna say Holík, one of my favorites to ever play the game.
And he's the guy that would help have the self deprecating line. Of course, when you're making $9 million a year, it's not bad being self deprecating. But he signed a 5-year contract with the New York Rangers at $9 million a season, and his line's always been, when I'm your number three center like I was in New Jersey, you're going to win the Stanley Cup. Yeah. When I'm your number two center, you're going to compete. If I'm your number one center like he was with the New York Rangers, you're in trouble. And that's exactly it with a lot of those guys when you try to project, because of the money, and David Clarkson's a great example, because of the money, you try to slot them in a higher slot than they really can play at.
I remember sitting on the bench one night in New York at MSG, and he looked over and he goes, Barney, did Slats not see me play for the last 15 years? I am not a number one centerman, and I don't play power play. We are not making the playoffs. And I started laughing at myself, like dying laughing. Here's a guy making $9.5 million, and he totally understood. He goes, I'm a 20-goal guy.
Yeah.
I'm a PK guy, and I will make life miserable on other teams' opposition. But if you expect me just because you give me more ice time, and to play first line minutes because I make 9.5, we're doomed. We're done. And
well,
he's right.
He's the guy that Toronto Maple Leaf fans will remember. Every game was a battle for Matt Sundin. And that's what Bobby Holík brought, you know, and great.
Never used a composite stick. Last guy to use a wood stick, I think.
And he could be.
Bruised you with it.
Could be. And a good life with the $45 million. His daughter rides horses, just travel everywhere. But I love the candor about it. And he wasn't saying, I screwed him or anything like that. He just saying, like, man, you got to do your job. And if you're going to give me this money, that's great. But if you saw me play, don't expect me to go out there and do these things I can't do.
You sign a Clarkson to the deal, and you expect him to be a first-line guy. You guys are going to sign Bolesky. Slot him in the right spot. Put these guys in the right spot. Mike Green is a perfect thing. You can't go and give him, just like when we look back at the Ehrhoff deal. He's a 4D man. He's a 4D man. You don't give him $40 million and expect him to come in and play the number one slot and play against the Sidney Crosbys and the Datsyuks, you're going to get burned. And that's what you have to look at free agency. Look at Vermette. If you're able to slot him in a spot in your team, in the right spot in that third line center, maybe even second. But if you're bringing him in to be your first line center, you're not making the playoffs. Or you're barely making it and you're not going to compete. It's all about slotting, and no team has done a better job over the years than the Detroit Red Wings. They get a guy, they slot him in the right spot, and that's why they're successful.
Well, and, okay, they get, for example, Marian Hossa turned down more term to go 1 year with the Detroit Red Wings. So, of course, he was slotted as a frontline guy, but I find it interesting. Other guys, we always bring up Danny Cleary, and we bring up Todd Bertuzzi, that they don't get the big name. They're not out there. But they'll get somebody else, and they'll get them at reasonable coin, and they'll recreate them. And they'll buy into the program because they win.
Let's look at Brad Richards last year. Let's look at Brad Richards. He could have got more term and more money to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit more. And he probably would have been slotted on some teams as their number two center. He comes into Chicago. He buys his time. He can't play really in the first 20 games. Can't find his niche in that lineup. When they go through the playoffs, he's their number three guy. And as a number three guy, second unit power play, sometimes on the first on the point, you can do something. But if you're taking a guy and just paying him more money because he's the sexy free agent, and you put him in your lineup, you're like, okay, now we're paying him $7 million. We got to play him top 6 minutes. But he's not a top six guy. Your team's screwed. You're not doing anything. You got to slot him right. And don't just put him in a position like Slats did with Bobby Holik, Darius Kasparaitis, Scott Gomez. The list can go on and on and on. You have to slot your guys right, and just because you give them a lot of money, you better have them slotted right in your lineup.
You know, I do find a bit of a different flavor here, Matt, for July 1st. That a couple of years ago, Brad Richards, we knew what went on, that Newport Sports out here in Mississauga was set up for the day, and didn't the LA Kings, like Wayne Gretzky, voiceover, like a promo, all the big stars? I mean, presentation after presentation. So he was the big guy out there. I know David Clarkson wasn't as big a name, but 2 years ago, because Toronto was in the hunt and ultimately landed him, it was huge news. A few years ago, I mentioned the Buffalo Sabres, Terry Pegula throwing around money like a drunken sailor. I don't know why that it could be a drunken anybody. But anyway, doing that. This year, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. The same hype about that. I mean, it's come back to more cap management and these big trades that we saw with Sagan a couple of years ago and Bobby Ryan. And now this year with Dougie Hamilton and Brandon Saad, that whether it's Mike Green or Antoine Vermette or Mike Ribeiro or Cody Franson or whoever's out there, I don't see the same 15 teams, 20 teams lining up in the same manner.
Yeah, well, I mean, the crop that's out there today, it's not a great crop. We don't have any of those big names or guys that came off huge seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Bolesky is a guy to watch. He's probably going to get in that five-year, $5 million. 22 goals last year, first time over 10.
Yeah.
You know, Montreal, let's watch Montreal. Montreal desperately needs a top six forward. Montreal desperately needs size, and Matt Bolesky fits the bill on both those.
And they bought out Pierre Parenteau as well. Not that frees up $1 billion, but, you know, just that kind of move.
It's a lot of money. It's one of those David Clarkson deals, I'm telling you. I like Matt Bolesky. I'm just not paying him $5 million and putting on my first line and expect him to do anything. Maybe he gets 20 goals.
One thing Montreal's done really well in the Marc Bergevin era, which is also the post-Scotty Gomez era, is exactly that. I mean, he's added some pieces that you haven't even heard of, and they've been real useful players for the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, they've done a good job. And once they move Rene Bork, that was the one piece, even though he drafted him with the Chicago Blackhawks all those years ago, just the maddening guy that can be a first-line guy one day and then is in the press box 3 games later. But they've really, I've liked their plan that when you sign P.K. Subban like they did and Carey Price is going to get the same money, that you can't make any mistakes mis-slotting.
You just can't. And Carey Price has covered up a lot of the deficiencies on that team. Parents out there, if your kids are forwards, move them back to defense because you are going to cash in, and we're going to see that today. The guys that are going to cash in are going to be defensemen. But I think Mark's done a fabulous job. He's desperately tried for 2 years to get that top six forward with size and hasn't been able to. Smith Pelly, he thought, might have been that guy, and time will tell. He's still very young. But this team is, again, I think Montreal is under a lot of pressure to add some, because I still don't think they're a great hockey team. You know, I think locking up Petrie long-term, I think that's good. He had a great fit with the team. You have arguably the best goaltender in the world. That's going to be with you for a lot of years. P.K. Subban, we know what he brings. He was a Norris finalist. But I think they're under a lot of pressure to add a top six forward. This team is not very deep up front.
You know, it's funny you mentioned about the defenseman and what was Glenn Sather thinking. Now, certainly things have gone well for him the last couple of years, and who can argue about his career, but whether it's Bobby Holik, then Wade Redden. I mean, 6 years, $39 million. Now, that's the money last year the Tampa Bay Lightning gave Anton Stralman, and money well spent in the modern-day economics, and that's where when you talk about Cody Franson or Andre Sekera from the Los Angeles Kings that out there, I know they're not the same wow impact names, and that's the problem sometimes in Toronto that you know, people think, well, Dion Phaneuf, shouldn't he be Drew Doughty or something like that? But what it is what it is. And these guys are going to get, and again, Anton Strowman wasn't a sexy name, but did a very sexy job. How about that?
Great point you make, because when we talk about slotting, and I think that's everything. Slotting is how you build champions. And is Dion Phaneuf a bad hockey player? No.
Absolutely not.
Would you take him as a four on any team?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now he's getting paid like a one.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe a two. I mean, we're a few years later. But if he goes out to L.A. where he's rumored, and he's your three or four, you got a pretty darn good slot. If Dion Phaneuf is your number one, like he is here in Toronto, you're not making the playoffs. You're not making the playoffs. You're not making the playoffs if you're Toronto, if you have Phil Kessel as your leader. Can you win with Phil Kessel? Absolutely. And I think he becomes more valuable in a three-on-three, though, now in overtime, where overtime points become so important. But he can't be your leader, and Dion Phaneuf cannot be your number one. But when you're a secondary guy like Marian Gaborik is out in L.A., I equate him to the same thing as Phil Kessel. You can win with those guys, not if they're your go-to guys. The go-to guys out there are Jeff Carter up front and Anze Kopitar. And then you look at a Marian Gaborik that can score goals, and he's going to score goals every year. Same thing with Phil Kessel. And Dion Phaneuf can be a very good player on a very good team. But if you're looking to build your team around him and say, you're our number one, you're going to check Crosby every night, you're going to check Malkin every night, not a chance.
I want to bring you up, of course, contract signing news. I mean, they're getting guys agreeing to deals with their respective teams. I think Bieksa did. We'll get a few of the guys. No, hold on. We've got to back off a little bit here. Just one is, we heard about Jarmo Kekalainen talking about that they are chatting with Brandon Saad. And he said, hey, if you sign him as an RFA, we're just going to match it. But they're in conversation with their newest member, the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Artem Anisimov, 5 years, $22.75 million, apparently signed now with the Chicago Blackhawks. So getting their business done. Some of the players, some of the assets they acquired in the trade yesterday from the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, a lot of movement, a lot of great. I think when we look at Columbus, I mean, this is a team to be reckoned with. I think they just need to stay healthy. They were a playoff team, and they caused a lot of stir when they turned it around. I mean, I had left them for dead halfway through the year, and they found their way just to find their groove and the way that they battle. And, you know, in the cap world, Chicago did the best deal that they could. I think Chicago is going to like the return that they got in Dano. I think he's a very skilled player. He averaged over half a point a game in the I think 35 games that he played. I think he had 21 points. And you look at Anisimov, reports are out there that he's already signed a 5-year extension. We'll wait to see if what the numbers are on that. But Anisimov is a big center in the Western Conference. And I like what Chris Johnson said earlier. You have Chicago that keeps winning, but they don't get stale.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that sense that we're just going to sit back. Every time there's a little bit of a turnover, everyone says, maybe they can't do it again. That just creates a little bit more fire for that organization and gives the opportunity for Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville to come in and say, guys, let's prove it once again. We can do it with even a little bit of retooling. And I like their team just as much now as they did before. It's going to change once Oduya signs with someone else. And I think they'll try to plug in some of those young guys. Like Chris said again, you need to be successful. You need guys on an ELC, an entry-level contract, making not a lot of money that could contribute so you can get your money for your big guys.
And Chris Johnson now is just saying, and Elliot Friedman, 5 years, $22.75 million for Anisimov. And also now Elliot Friedman talking about Kevin Bieksa having a no-move clause in a new deal. So anyway, we'll get a little bit more about that is going on. Matt Beleski, 6 to 8 teams chasing him, reports, and might be more than that. But anyway, the agent gets it all out too, the hype, the interest. That's what's going to go on. And we will come back. And Brad Boyes, another interesting case. A little bit of surprise you mentioned that about him being bought out. It wasn't like he had a big nut with the Florida Panthers, but they buy him out. So all these guys that were, that means contract. That's right. And that means he's back on the UFA market as far as it goes. So we will chat with him, a local guy that's had a real solid NHL career. Kevin Kurz will join us in San Jose, the Martin Jones era that begins with the San Jose Sharks. Gord Stelic, Matthew Barnaby, all the action here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.